You mentioned, Erica, the question, the dreaded question that you get when you're doing an internal investigation of, you give the updrawn warning and the client and the witness says, well, do I need a lawyer? And I think everyone would say, and I think it's pretty well documented, the best thing to say there is, because you represent the organization, you may represent a committee of the board, I'm not here to give you advice, and you certainly think the best approach here is never advise, don't get a lawyer. But thinking through the rules, right, on conflicts, and if you think that you may become adverse to that person, again, in the law firm context, you handle it through written disclosures, right? And the rules require full disclosure and informed consent, and you document that through an engagement letter signed by everybody. But, of course, in-house, the rules are a little bit different, right? And so, I'd throw it out to the panel of talking about that, look, you know, when you're doing an investigation and maybe you're in the early stages, you know, are there advantages to getting reluctant witnesses counsel, whether it's their own individual counsel or hiring an outside lawyer to provide pool counsel? You know, I just kind of throw it out there to, you know, could that actually be in your client, the organization's best interest?
I've definitely made that recommendation on a number of occasions, and it worked out well in those instances. I've been fortunate. I think the pushback we talked about earlier is sometimes the company or organization does not want to pay. It's expensive, right, to hire pool counsel. It might be five. It might be more than that, depending on the type of investigation you have. If it's a small company, you know, they look at the cost. But it is incumbent upon us to give the company advice on why it's necessary, and oftentimes paying up front for pool counsel or outside individual counsel could be cheaper in the long run if you're considering a huge investigation from a government agency, and the cost could be outrageous and more challenging for the company to handle.
In many instances, you can also get more and better information, right? The employees may actually feel more comfortable talking to someone that isn't a coworker, someone who isn't necessarily in the chain of command or in their own compliance or legal department. So they may be more likely to have sort of more fulsome, more useful discussions with outside attorneys than some of their colleagues that, you know, they may see on a daily basis.
Well, you know, we were talking before this that, you know, given the guidance that came out yesterday, the additional guidance that the panel this morning was talking about on corporate compliance, you know, corporate cooperation and getting that credit and getting good resolution for the company, that there is more pressure from the Department of Justice to identify individuals who had potentially engaged in wrongdoing and get in quicker, and they want in very quick there, and that's going to lead to more cooperation credit for the company. And so it seems to me that when you're thinking through these ethical issues of what's in the best interest of my client, you know, if you think it could lead to something more serious, it may be in the best interest, because ultimately, look, you know, it may be in the company's best interest. Maybe that employee didn't, you know, really commit a crime.
Right.
And maybe it's in the best interest of the company that that person be exonerated. And you know, it's hard to tell that at the very beginning, but, you know, maybe a little bit safe than sorry here is the best way to sum it up.
Right. I mean, if you have a busy docket of, you know, 15, 20 other internal legal matters that you're handling, to have outside counsel asking the right questions, being a zealous advocate for that particular employee, can be very helpful in terms of getting to the right answer, to make sure that all the relevant avenues have been exhausted on that employee's behalf can be very helpful.
Another added benefit of having the employee have separate counsel is that it absolutely makes it clear and avoids any misunderstanding as to who is representing the employee. If you're conducting the investigation yourself, internally, maybe it's a smaller matter that you haven't engaged external counsel on yet, then this helps you avoid the issue of, but you're the company's lawyer, and I talk to you all the time, and I thought you were my lawyer too. It's just one way to avoid another problem. And again, the rules specifically speak to avoiding misunderstanding on the part of the constituents.
I think for a general counsel too, the issue could be, I thought you were my friend. We know each other. We see each other at soccer games, and we've been to dinner at each other's houses. And so when you have especially identified that those issues could become sticky and realize that you need someone to come out, I think that's certainly beneficial. I had a client that I know I've shared with the group up here who the day they discovered some embezzlement that was happening within a small part of the company, they immediately called me. And it was helpful to the investigation because I was someone that no one knew in the company except for the general counsel. And the person who they identified had engaged in the wrongdoing was really close to high-level management and in the executive team. And they all really wanted to treat the investigation with kid gloves. And I wanted to make sure that this individual knew that it was serious, that we had identified a criminal act and that we were taking it very seriously. And he was immediately very cooperative. Success story, thankfully, because we treated it the way we did and we took sort of the personal aspect out, we were able to recover for the company 100% of the loss. And the target also turned over what they paid me for, as well as some forensic accounting costs. So we recovered 110%. And I think it was...